This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Extreme heat continues. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Wednesday, July 20th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Americans continue to endure dangerously high temperatures that could last into next week here where it's the hottest.
Election news, Dan Cox won the GOP primary for governor in Maryland, backed by former President Trump. The Democratic primary was too close to call.
In sports, the American League beat the National League in baseball's All-Star Game 3-2. Elsewhere, NASCAR will race through the streets of Chicago.
And is student loan forgiveness fair to those who don't have a college degree?
Some people are just in favor of student loan debt forgiveness, and others are kind of the mind that anything that you give to someone with a college degree, that maybe that should be reciprocal for folks without degrees. And then, of course, you do have people who are staunchly opposed to it.
Chris Quintana at USA Today samples opinions from divided Americans about forgiving student loans. We'll start things off in Washington, where the House has passed a measure that would codify federal protections for same-sex and interracial marriage. The reason? Democratic lawmakers say the recent Supreme Court ruling ending federal abortion rights could endanger other precedents. Same-sex marriage was one of a handful of personal rights called into question in Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion on the Supreme Court's Dobbs v. Jackson ruling, which overturned Roe v. Wade. The vote yesterday, 267 to 157, in favor of the Respect for Marriage Act, with 47 Republicans also in support. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
It should be seen transparently as what it is, a messaging bill attempting to deflect their failure in real issues to go for a messaging bill.
Republican members of the House Rules Committee criticized Democrats for pushing the bill through after receiving it 1 hour before the committee's hearing. Democratic leaders in the Senate have not said if they'll schedule a vote on the House bill. The National Weather Service says more than 100 million people are living under excessive warnings or heat advisories this week. Across the United States, Americans have been enduring, in some cases, dangerously high heat that meteorologists say will last into next week. In Oklahoma City, where a high of 110 is predicted today, a 40-year-old man told Reuters that it hits like dragon's breath when he steps outside. Matt Zavodsky is an executive at MedStar in Texas.
Our average age of a patient right now is 45 years old. And most of them think, oh, I'm young, I'm healthy, I can handle it. Not this kind of heat.
The National Weather Service says the dangerous heat is forecast to impact a large portion of the country, including states ranging from Texas and Louisiana to Kansas and Missouri. No problem, right? Just jump in the water to cool off, like in New York. Well, officials there have ordered additional shark monitoring off Long Island, where sharks injured 3 people this month. A look now at why parts of the U.S. and Europe are in this period of extreme heat from Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com. Jonathan, what do we have?
Yeah, Gordon, you know, it's harder to find areas that aren't hot right now in the U.S. And this is pretty typical for late July. It's typically the hottest time of year in the South and the Midwest and the Northeast. So we expect heat, but the kind of heat that we're seeing in the South has just been so persistent. Basically, since late spring. In fact, we're seeing some 110 degree heat in parts of Oklahoma and Texas. And really, when you see that 110 degree heat in the southern plains, you know it's extreme heat in this time of year.
Yeah. So what's actually happening weather-wise?
Well, we have this dome of high pressure known as a heat dome. It's just this bubble in the atmosphere that, underneath it, there's sinking air. And when air sinks, it dries out and it heats up. And this feature has been fairly persistent over the southern plains, so parts of Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas, Louisiana, over the last several weeks, and really since the latter part of spring. And so when that happens, when the sun is high in the sky, And frankly, they're also in a significant drought in parts of those areas. The ground heats up fast. And so days that might be, say, upper 90s to, say, low 100s for high temperatures end up being days where it's, you know, 108 to even 113 degrees. And that doesn't sound like a big difference, but, you know, that's certainly extreme heat. And combined with humidity can make things pretty stressful.
We're speaking with Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com. We're talking about the heat. And Europe, too, really struggling. And I guess it's amplified, as has been documented. There's just not a lot of folks who have homes or businesses or schools that have air conditioning.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, Gordon. I went over and visited Germany and Austria about a month ago, and it was nowhere near as hot as it is now. And I was pretty uncomfortable until I got to my air-conditioned hotel room, which I was very thankful for.
Wow, yeah.
We've read some stories saying that in the UK, there's only about 5% of homes have air conditioning. And that's because it's just not needed. You know, 100-degree Fahrenheit heat in the UK was extremely rare. And, you know, on Tuesday, we smashed the all-time record there in the UK of around 104 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 40 degrees Celsius. So it's just a very uncomfortable situation there, and something that I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime.
All right. So it seems unique in Europe. Maybe not so much, I guess, in the U.S. It's just hot, right, is what we talk about. Or have you noticed that things are actually worsening?
Well, it's an artifact of climate change. You know, there have been heat waves for as long as there's been weather, but the problem is we're adding with the greenhouse effect and the additional carbon dioxide we're adding to the atmosphere. You know, it's lengthening heat waves, is making them more frequent, and it's making them more extreme. So, you know, this Southern Plains kind of prolonged heat event that I mentioned earlier, that, you know, started later in spring, that just keeps going on and on. It hasn't made a lot of headlines across the country. That usually for a heat wave to do that, it has to be an extreme event, you know, setting all-time records. But what it is doing is the persistence of it that's been most impressive. And that's, you know, when I was just looking at some statistics, there are parts of Texas that are on pace for their hottest summer on record if this keeps going.
Is it any better in the mountains, whether it's, I don't know, Appalachia here on the East Coast, or the Rockies out west, or the Alps in Europe?
Well, you know, you can head to the Appalachians and you can you know, at least maybe get into the 80s, maybe low 90s if you're in valley location. So that offers a little bit of relief. You know, it's funny, if those of you on an Alaskan cruise that may be listening to this may wonder what we're talking about, because that's been one of the few places in the country that's been quite chilly and quite rainy over the last week or so. So there are a few places you can escape the heat, but you know, in late July or August, that's pretty hard to do in the U.S.
Nice, John. Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. A fresh batch of corporate earnings news put investors in a good mood, at least temporarily. The major stock market indexes were higher across the board, with the NASDAQ leading the way, up 3.1%. The S&P 500 added 2.8%. The Dow Industrials rose 2.4%. Those were the biggest one-day gains in a month. Among other things, investors are examining earnings reports for clues about how decades-high inflation is affecting corporate profits and consumer spending. Art Hogan is chief market strategist at B. Riley Wealth.
One of the biggest concerns for investors coming into this period was that estimates were too high and guidance would have to come down. So while it's early days as far as the earnings season goes, thus far the news has been more good than bad.
Notable investor news, Netflix says for the first time ever it has suffered subscriber losses in back-to-back quarters. Meanwhile, sky-high gas prices continue to slide as of this morning. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular is $4.47. Gas has fallen 36 days in a row. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Heat waves are scorching the UK and Europe while 60 million Americans are facing temperatures above 100 degrees this week. Everyone is sweating it, especially in areas where there's lots of heat-absorbing pavement instead of trees and shade. This London resident says she's heading into the office to stay cool.
I think you just got to be sensible. Just keep hydrated. Try and avoid the alcohol. I've got lunch today, so I'm going to try and avoid not having a drink and just have some water or, something that's not alcoholic. Just try and stay hydrated. I think you've got to just look after yourself.
The UK recorded its highest ever temperatures yesterday with readings of over 104 degrees.
Number two.
President Biden is vowing what he's calling strong executive action on combating climate change and bolstering clean energy industries. While he didn't lay out specifics, analysts say Biden could declare a national climate emergency, reinstate the U.S. crude oil ban, export and reject drilling on federal lands and in waters.
Number three.
The House passed a bill that would provide protection for same-sex and interracial marriage under federal law. The bill faces uncertain outlooks in the Senate, but Republican Lisa Murkowski of Alaska says she'd consider it.
I will look at what the House is doing and see what that might mean here on the Senate side.
With such votes, Democrats are challenging Republicans to line up behind rights favored by most Americans. On the marriage bill, 47 GOP lawmakers joined with all Democrats in support, while other Republicans dismissed it as a political stunt to protect rights that don't need protecting. The Army is significantly cutting the total number of soldiers it expects to have in the force over the next 2 years, as the military faces what a top general called unprecedented challenges in bringing in recruits. With just 2.5 months to go in the fiscal year, the Army has achieved just 50% of its recruiting goal of 60,000 soldiers. Make it 9 in a row for the American League. Giancarlo Stanton homered in last night's All-Star game as the AL beat the NL 3-2. Stanton, the game's MVP on Fox.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I went down 0-2. I was like, hey, better not strike out again. So it's just good to be able to get that and tie us up.
Fans rooting for a tie score after 9 innings so they could see a first-time home run derby decide the winner did not get their wish.
Dang it. That would have been good. Thank you, Jen. Do you know what over 100 million people worldwide have in common? Their password, 123456. When NordPass researched 50 different countries' top passwords, that was number one. Here in the U.S., too. It's like some people want to get hacked. But believe me, you don't. That's why you need NordPass. NordPass isn't just a password manager. It's an essential cybersecurity tool. It generates secure passwords and stores them all in one place. You can even securely store your credit cards there, too, to save time shopping and browsing. NordPass has a very easy, user-friendly setup. I was ready to go in just a couple of minutes. And I love how simple it is to organize your data into categories like credit cards or secure notes. That's for things like our Wi-Fi password or the office alarm code. And if you don't like it, it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Get an exclusive NordPass deal plus one additional month free at nordpass.com/Gordon or use code Gordon at checkout. That's an exclusive deal plus one additional month free if you go to nordpass.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Going to the grocery store anytime soon? Brace yourself. Food prices jumped 1.2% last month and have shot up 12.2% in the past year, the biggest annual increase since 1979, but experts said people should not overreact given that some prices fell in the latter half of June. Some data from Zoe Hahn, reporter at MarketWatch. Zoe, what are we learning?
An example that is really rising right now is eggs. So the data right now in front of me is 33.1% compared to last year. And also chicken have also seen like a really high increase as well. And the interesting part about that is actually whole chicken is not seeing as much price increase compared to the parts of chicken. So I remember Wall Street Journal, they have a piece talking about how people are changing to the whole chicken instead.
So speak to that point then. What should we avoid? You referenced eggs, I guess chicken to a certain extent. What else might we avoid?
I think, yes, avoid chicken. And at the same time, just have in mind that I think there is a perspective you should look into this, is that stuff that are rising, they are not necessarily expensive. So you should really like take into account that at the first place, they are actually of a cheaper price. For example, flour and eggs, although they have like high inflation. So just keep in mind that about that part and then make your choices.
Got it. And this one person you talked to in your story from the Economic Policy Institute said there's even less reason this time to overreact to a hot inflation reading. How come? What did he mean?
Yeah, because there are some price decrease later in the month, I believe is for the gas. And that part of the price decrease, it actually did not take into account into the CPI price index for the month. So we might see for next month, for this actually for this upcoming July CPI index release, we might see a lower rate of inflation. So that is one of the reason.
Wow. We're speaking with Zoe Han, reporter at MarketWatch. Her story is called Avoid These Food Items the Next Time You Go Shopping If You Want to Drastically Cut Your Grocery Bill. Explain, Zoe, too, as we finish up here, the role of fertilizer in all this and its relation to food costs.
Yeah, so that part, fertilizers, the cost rise of fertilizers are actually behind why we are seeing all this groceries price increase. And that is actually twofold. One is the supply chain disruptions that's kind of caused by pandemic, COVID-19. And the other one was really because of the war in Ukraine, because I think it's because Russia is a big producer of fertilizer. And because of that, because of the sanctions, so we are seeing very short supply of fertilizer. So that really increased the cost of fertilizers in general for farmers.
Zoe Han, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us and welcome into Wednesday, July 20. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The massive heat wave could last into next week. Stocks jumped as investors pored over corporate earnings data. The House passed a bill protecting marriage equality. It's not clear if the Senate will take it up. A House committee takes up a bill today that would ban semi-automatic weapons. American League won its 9th straight All-Star game, beating the National League 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees, the MVP. And the Kentucky woman, who won a lottery jackpot and promptly started giving away some of it. That story in about 20 minutes. Some people without student loan debt describe debt forgiveness as a handout. Others said they're not against the idea of student loan relief, but hope it would go to the people struggling the most. Chris Quintana, national education reporter at USA Today, has a current sample of attitudes. Chris, what are you hearing?
We're hearing a lot of nuance from people without college degrees. I think the assumption going into this might be that, you know, they don't have student loan debt, and so why should they be expected to sort of, help forgive the student loan debt of people who, do have it, right? But the folks I talked to, there's a lot of variety in responses, and, some people are just in favor of student loan debt forgiveness, and others are kind of the mind that anything that you give to someone with a college degree, that maybe that should be reciprocal for folks without degrees. And then, of course, you do have people who are staunchly opposed to it.
Right. All right. So you opened the story talking with this Nat Lowndes, 40 years old, software guy. What is he saying?
Well, he's saying that, he recognizes that he doesn't have a college education, but, he sees a lot of people around him with degrees and debt. And, they're kind of sold on this assumption that, you go to college, you get a degree, and you find the job. And people are saying that that's not true. And so Nate is of the opinion that, student debt should be canceled, but he also wants wider spread cancellation for other things as well, looking at, like, car loans and other forms of debt that, affect people.
Well, what was his reasoning for it? Why was he in favor of getting rid of it? If it were a debate of some kind, somebody would say, well, listen, you sign on the dotted line to take the loan. You pay back your mortgage. You pay your car loan. Why shouldn't you be paying back your education loans?
Yeah, I think there's a sense from folks that, and I don't want to speak too broadly for Nat, they're exactly, but, in my conversation with him, there was a sense of, your people are kind of sold this idea that you'll be able to pay off the debt with a degree, and that the earnings that you get from the degree should be enough to do that. I think a lot of people are finding that isn't their reality. That is definitely one portion of that we're hearing from folks. But, like this guy I interviewed, Michael Patterson, he runs a local union. He's squarely of that mindset, people, when they take out debt, they have a responsibility to pay it back.
We're speaking with Chris Quintana, national education reporter at USA Today. His story is called, Is Student Loan Forgiveness Fair to Those Without College Degrees? Americans Remain Divided Over Costs. So this is something President Biden, to a large extent, promised, but he's kind of, picked and chose along the way as to what was or who was going to get relief, right?
Yeah, so that's a great summation of it. There's been some debt relief in the form of sort of existing government programs. So we've seen tweaks to the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. We've seen tweaks to rules around borrowers who can prove that they were defrauded by their schools. But that hasn't been kind of the widespread for forgiveness that some folks are pushing for. Biden had also campaigned on forgiving up to $10,000 in student loan debt per person. And there's been recent, reporting that indicates that it appears that he's leaning that way, but with, some kind of income caps. We don't have an exact sense yet of what it will come from the White House, but that's kind of what we've seen so far.
Might lawmakers step in here if President Biden does not?
It depends on kind of what stepping in looks like. As far as the question of cancellation, we have seen from Republican lawmakers an attempt to block potential widespread cancellation. We saw that from Senator Mitt Romney. And there are various other, I think other conservatives have, indicated their opposition to this as well. But progressive lawmakers, too, have been pressuring the president to go well beyond $10,000, right? So I think we will continue to see pressure from them. It's just a matter of kind of what will make its way through Congress. And I think there's just, there's still a lot of waiting to see what comes down from the executive branch.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Quintana, national education reporter at USA Today.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we love a good war between fast food places, and instead of on social media, this one's gotten local. A sign war between a Missouri McDonald's and a nearby Dairy Queen is going viral, with other neighboring businesses firing their own shots. The marquee melee began last week when the sign outside the Marshfield McDonald's was changed to read, "Hey DQ, wanna have a sign war?" The neighboring Dairy Queen soon accepted the challenge with the message, "We would, but we were too busy making ice cream." A back and forth followed with the eateries trading barbs, including a swipe at McDonald's infamously often broken ice cream machines. Photos of the warring signs were posted to Facebook by the area Chamber of Commerce, and soon other nearby businesses joined in. Wendy's, a chain famous for throwing fire on Twitter, fired its own, much more tame shot at McDonald's. Hot and crispy fries don't arch. A manager at the Dairy Queen said the war will continue until someone surrenders, and it won't be them.
Whoa. Oh, Dairy Queen. Whoa.
Yeah, I know. And I think a local bank put up a sign, something that said, like, you know, if you need to get your ice cream machine fixed, we can give you a loan, you know, that kind of thing.
That's great.
That I always enjoy. The barbs thrown at McDonald's for their ice cream machines always breaking all the time.
That's great stuff. I love that local little battle.
Yes.
And especially in Marshfield, Missouri.
Yes.
The population 7,400, just outside of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's not a whole else going on there.
Yes.
So it's great.
And of course, the signs, you know, other than different than the social media wars, these are decidedly very PG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole family can get behind this kind of a sign war.
Yes. Well, you don't want the really nasty stuff in like a local, probably close-knit community like Marshfield, Missouri.
Yes.
Like, we don't need any bad feelings there. It's just good old local publicity. Something to talk about when you go into these restaurants.
Right.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff. And it's National Hot Dog Day, and I don't think I would choose to celebrate the day by spending the afternoon throwing hot dogs 50 yards across a field, but I'm also not David Rush, the Idaho man who breaks Guinness World Records almost every day. Now the owner of more than 250 records, Rush set out to reclaim a record he previously broke, the longest throw and catch of a hot dog into a bun. Rush set the mark in 2019 when a friend threw a hot dog 105 feet to where Rush caught it in a bun. It's been broken twice since, and the distance to beat had now jumped to 156 feet 2 inches. Rush and a co-worker set out to eclipse that mark, and after multiple attempts over multiple days, they managed to beat the old record by more than 10 feet, celebrating afterward by chowing down on the record-setting dog.
Wow.
Yeah, multiple days to pull this off.
Did you throw a frozen hot dog?
It didn't look frozen. I saw the video, and it did not look frozen. It looked like it was thawed. I mean, frozen would seem to be easier to throw, you would think.
Had
a little more weight to it, too, maybe. My guess is they probably wasn't allowed to be frozen. You know, Guinness has rules about these kind of things.
Yeah.
And a frozen hot dog, again, just, you know, anecdotally off the top of our head, seems like it's easier to throw.
I would think.
Maybe a little more weight because of the ice, so probably not allowed.
But that's more than 50 yards,
right?
That's a big throw of a hot dog. I would think it might be like, I don't know, break as you released it or something.
Well, that's what they said afterward. That the real record holder here really should be the guy who threw it.
Because
you know, he's got a good arm on him. All David had to do was catch it in a bun.
Right.
By the time it got to him, it was easy pickings.
Right. And let's review some of the basics too about hot dogs.
Yeah.
If you put ketchup only on a hot dog,
yes,
you are age 5 or younger.
Most likely.
I was at a party recently. I think the kid was 8. He came up to get a hot dog, like at the stand where I was, and asked for relish.
Oh, wow. Look at him.
Hey, 8 years old, relish. That is advanced dietary stuff when you're 8.
High five for that kid. No ketchup and relish only.
That's right. Thank you, Mike.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. New health guidelines put a spotlight on the link between a good night's sleep and a healthy heart. The American Heart Association has added sleep to its list of factors critical to heart health, a list that includes 7 others, such as diet, physical activity, and blood pressure. The Wall Street Journal says it's more evidence on the role that 7 to 9 hours a night plays in helping prevent heart disease. Some scientists now believe that healthy sleep habits can help prevent cardiovascular disease. Among the new findings, normally a person's blood pressure is expected to fall at night by 10% or more from daytime levels, a change that scientists call the nocturnal dip. The dip appears to help keep blood pressure lower during the day. Scientists have found that blood pressure in people who get only 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night don't experience the dip, and that the less rested have higher daytime blood pressure, likely from a rise in stress hormones. Also, poor sleep interferes with the body's ability to manage inflammation, part of the normal rest and repair cycle. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Pick a spot on Earth and chances are it's sweltering there. Record-breaking temperatures are baking parts of North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. In the UK yesterday, temperatures hit a record 104 degrees. Here at home, more than 140 million of us are preparing for blistering heat. The FDNY's Lillian Bonsignor.
If you feel dizzy or nauseous or your skin turns pale or anything like that, you start to lose your ability to think clearly. Those are all types of things that can happen in excessive heat emergencies.
Utility companies are warning customers to be cautious of their energy use.
Number two.
The White House says it has intelligence to indicate Russia is taking steps to annex parts of Ukraine. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We're seeing ample evidence in the intelligence and in the public domain that Russia intends to try to annex additional Ukrainian territory.
Kirby says the U.S. observed a similar Russian playbook in 2014 before the Kremlin annexed Crimea.
Number three.
Congressman Benny Thompson, chairman of the House January 6th committee, has tested positive for COVID, but the panel will still hold its primetime hearing tomorrow night. Meanwhile, the Secret Service was only able to provide a single text exchange to the DHS Inspector General, who had requested a month's worth of records for 24 Secret Service personnel. The revelation provides insight into the concern raised in a recent letter to Congress by the Inspector General, who accused the agency of not retaining records needed for the January 6th investigation. Dan Cox, a conservative state legislator endorsed by former President Trump, has won the Republican gubernatorial nomination in Maryland. The outcome of the primary election sets up what political analysts predict will be an uphill battle for Cox in November, given that registered Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 in Maryland. And President Biden defeated Trump 65-32% in 2020. On the Democratic side, the AP had not declared a winner. Remember the Google Glass fiasco? Google is going to give it another go. The company says it will test augmented reality prototypes in public settings. Some prototypes will look like normal glasses and will be equipped with microphones and cameras as well as transparent displays. By announcing plans to test in public, Google's trying to get ahead of the kind of privacy concerns that helped sink Google Glass almost a decade ago.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jen. A lottery winner in Kentucky won a six-figure jackpot and celebrated her win by giving away gift cards at a local store. Crystal Dunn of Louisville put $20 into the Kentucky Lottery's online game called Bankbuster Jackpot Instant Play. The Kentucky Lottery says Ms. Dunn won the game's progressive jackpot worth more than $146,000. After taxes, she got a check for about $104,000. She stopped by Meijer, a supercenter store chain that has multiple locations in Kentucky and the Midwest, to share a portion of her jackpot. The lottery says Ms. Dunn purchased $2,000 in gift cards and just handed them out to random shoppers. She plans to use the rest of the money to buy a car and pay off bills. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.